You're listening to The Voyager in association with Turkish Airlines on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to The Voyager on Monocle 24. Monocle's travel show spotlighting outposts of opportunity for business, pleasure and inspiration all around the world. I'm Steve Bloomfield. This week we head to Manila, and our guide is Monocle's very own Aisha Spears.
Welcome to Manila. I'm Aisha Spears, and I'm spending a few days navigating my way around this complex and fascinating city. Located on the western shore of the island of Luzon, Metro Manila is the capital of the Philippines and home to over 24 million people. Made up of 16 separate cities and one municipality, it's socially and geographically diverse, stretching from the fortified walls of historic Intramuros all the way to the modern beachside province of Batangas. Arrive in Manila and it's impossible to ignore the difficulty that many people face in getting around the city. With very little public transport available, nearly all of the city's residents are forced onto its jam-packed roads, some commuting for hours via the colourful jeepneys, informal bus routes and private cars that clog the streets. Despite being one of the metropolitan powerhouses of Southeast Asia, Manila sometimes feels like it's misplaced in the region. The seat of Spain's colonial government in the 16th century, Manila was occupied by the British for a couple of years during the 1760s and ceded to the US at the end of the 19th century, at the end of the Spanish-American War. It was occupied by the Japanese during World War II, and the bombing campaign during the Battle of Manila left it the world's second most damaged city of the war. Today, you'll meet Manileños with American accents and Spanish last names. And the city's food shows dishes like Spanish paella and lasagna alongside lumpit spring rolls and panchit noodles. We'll be meeting Manila natives who are trying to leave their mark on this densely populated city, starting businesses that champion Filipino culture. Let's start things in Makati, one of Manila's most prosperous cities and home to many of its international hotels and businesses. Just a few minutes from the wide avenues lined with bank headquarters and expensive apartments is Poblacion, a quiet neighborhood of two-story buildings where entrepreneur Juan Ramos has restored a historic home into a charming bed and breakfast called La Casita Mercedes.
It's my remake of how I think pre-war Manila should be presented, you know, not in a luxe way, but in a more realistic way. Like, this is not a luxury house. It's a humble house. Look at the furniture. The furniture is not a rich person's furniture. It's typical of pre-war Manila homes, middle class.
Can you describe a little bit about what this neighborhood is like and how it differs from other parts of Makati?
Physically, the cuts of the properties are a lot smaller than what most people see or their impression of what Makati would be. So this is not a gated community. It's close proximity to all the good parts of Makati, the posh parts and the not so posh parts, but the cool parts, it's there. I walk 5 minutes down the street and I'm in one of the most luxurious parts of the city.
So how would it work? So we're now going upstairs and this is going to be a place where people will help themselves to breakfast, or will it be a restaurant? How's it going to work?
Well, it will be more or less, it would be like having your cook at home. And so you tell them, hey, I want breakfast in 10 minutes. And so it would be that casual, that easy.
Okay.
You know.
These old shutters are amazing. So tell me a little bit about a room like this. I mean, what did you have to restore?
Well, these are original. So these shell, capiz shell windows were original to the house. So these are more than 70 years old.
And things like the bathroom and these old light switches, which
The big light switches, believe it or not, are still in production. So we were able to find replacements for the ones that were broken. So these, surprisingly, most people, it has such high appeal. Everybody loves these old Bakelite switches. And I think it needs to be remarketed all over the world because it's such high appeal. You know, everybody looks at them and it is almost always a topic of conversation.
In a moment, we'll be back with a resident of Poblacion.
Pack your bags, get ready for takeoff, and let Turkish Airlines take you on a journey to more than 270 destinations in over 100 countries around the world. With a fleet of more than 285 state-of-the-art aircraft, no destination is too far. Turkish Airlines, widen your world.
One of Poblacion's residents is Bea Misa Crisostomo, who along with her husband runs the Ritual Grocery, a store which sells produce of all sorts from around the Philippines that is all sourced directly from small producers and farmers. We head over to the shop, located in another part of Makati, in an old building near one of the city's most luxurious malls.
We are in Makati. It's actually near the hotel and like kind of the mall district. It's actually very central, close to the MRT and EDSA, which is the main highway. And this road, Pasay Road, has been full of establishments, either old establishments or establishments catering to Japanese people because you don't need parking. It's tourists mostly. And we decided to put our shop here because it's accessible. People can park in the mall, but people can also come in through the public transportation. And we have a lot of customers that are foreigners and they have no problems walking from wherever they are, like hotels and...
What is Ritual?
Well, we kind of wanted to be a space for local and interesting products, like a place where small farmers could put out their produce, even if it's not a terribly large amount. And also a place where we could retail stuff without the use of plastic. So we use only glass bottles. People can come in for refills. And also, it's kind of a secretly advocating like a low carbon lifestyle. So we have things and people think, oh, it's so cute, it's so vintage. But actually it's something that makes a lower carbon lifestyle more appealing to people.
So let's talk about some of the products in the store, what they are, where they come from, and why you think it's important to sort of highlight that these are products from the Philippines.
We have a range of Philippine-made cacao chocolate bars, and I think that's interesting because it's one of the things that is in high demand, Philippines as a cacao origin, because it's all very new. All the cacao comes from Africa, South America. So now people are kind of, their minds are blown that there's cacao in the Philippines. So we also, me and my husband, export cacao beans. And that's something that is really, artisans are finding interesting, you know, an Asian bean. And the Philippines was the first country outside of the Americas to have cacao. So we actually have a drinking culture of cacao. And that's like very interesting for people who don't know. And then we have kind of some of our more famous products are the liquid soaps and gin bottles. The Philippines is a big drinking country, so we wanted something that was inexpensive but also not plastic, so that's what we use.
Alongside food products, Ritual also stocks the Manila Review, a quarterly journal that aims to shape public discussion about the Philippines. After dinner at Senor Pollo, back near Poblacion, we head to Lit, an intimate Japanese whiskey bar in Bonifacio Global City, a rapidly developing neighbourhood of office and condominium towers that is one of Manila's only easily walkable neighbourhoods. There, Mara Cosson and Lisandro Claudio, who edit the Manila Review, talk about why the city needs a publication like theirs.
There aren't really publications in the Philippines that speak to a learned audience that are not academic. So it's either you have the monthlies, which are glossies, and so they have their fashion spreads, you have their your profiles there. But if you wanted to do book reviews, longish book reviews, like 3,000 words, we're like, why would you publish that stuff? There was nowhere to do that. And so around 2 years ago, we said, wouldn't it be nice if we had something that was more or less the equivalent of the New York Review of Books or the London Review of Books for the Philippines? And this was largely a function also of the fact that we think that the cultural and intellectual scene in Manila is booming, and it hasn't boomed in this way since, I don't know, as a historian, I don't think it's boomed this way since the 1970s. So I think it's a very interesting time in the Philippines, and we wanted to be a kind of lightning rod for people who wanted to have a peek, who wanted to understand the kind of intellectual and cultural life that we're experiencing now in Manila.
Why do you think there has been this boom?
So I think for most of the 70s, and actually most of the 80s and the 90s, Filipinos are very inward-looking. It's a kind of very inward-looking kind of nationalism. But what's happened in the last few years is that a lot of Filipinos have worked abroad, and this is a function of the fact that we're sending so many laborers abroad, overseas Filipino worker phenomenon. That has internationalized the Philippines, and it's made it more interesting. So if you go around the city, I guess there's a lot less navel-gazing these days.
Do you see it as a way of people who aren't from the Philippines kind of understanding the Philippines and Manila in a more nuanced and genuine way?
I think primarily our audience is like, well, the way we've structured at least the publication is that our audience is here, like the Philippines. But then it just so happened that as we went along, a lot of like Filipino Americans started to get interested, or, you know, like people from Canada, Australia, everywhere. And so, yeah, I don't know. I suppose that still surprises me. But then I'd like to think we kind of helped to give them an insight. Like some of them have never been here. So sometimes we'll kind of leave like an essay or two that kind of helps them really understand the place a little bit more. So it's less alien should they ever come here, or if they have come here before, you know, like with their families, it just maybe might become a little bit clearer to them.
I think one of like, how do you market Manila as a place? It's very difficult. I was just reading an article about Filipino food, and the restaurateurs were basically saying, we couldn't market this food until we accepted the fact that it was weird and started marketing it as weird. And I think that's how you market Manila. There's no point in saying that Manila is a Southeast Asian city. It is to some extent. So Manila is weird, and it's weird for many things. For one thing, it loves the West. It's a kind of unadulterated love for America. There was just a survey that came out last year, and it said that Filipinos love America more than Americans love America. So the Manila Review actually pokes fun at that. We're not a nationalist publication in the sense that we're trying to dig up something authentically Filipino. We try to celebrate weird facts like that, that, you know, that the Philippines refuses to be orientalized, that it is a kind of Latinized banana republic floating around Southeast Asia. That's the image of the Philippines that I want to project.
Maraming beses na kitang nilayasan.
If you've got an afternoon off and feel like taking a break from Manila madness, head to Tagay Time, a popular destination for locals and tourists alike that is a couple of hours' drive from the city. Overlooking the Taal Lake and volcano island of Batangas, the city is a cool and relaxed alternative to Manila. Make a booking for lunch at Antonio's, a beautifully restored house and garden where great food and drinks are served.
Manila, I keep coming back to Manila. Simply ain't no place like Manila.
Spend a few days in Manila and it's easy to see how complicated the city and its culture are. However, what is certain is that a large number of its residents are invested in making it better. From business concerns to ideological ones, this city is changing fast. With a well-educated, English-speaking population known for their easygoing nature, it's a place that anyone interested in Southeast Asia should visit. For Monocle, in Manila, I'm Aisha Spears.
Promise me you'll never let go. Manila, Manila, I keep coming back to Manila.
And that's all for this week's edition of The Voyager. My thanks to Aisha Spears in Manila and Toby Hammond here in London. Next week on the programme, we're heading to Casablanca. Do join us then. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Until we board the Voyager again, happy travels.